Well, we've spent 4 days on the parable of the tares and the wheat. I couldn't spend longer, but I do want to get on with the other parables in Matthew 13, and we shall see that each one of these, in effect, verifies the other. Let us read the parable that follows the parable of the tares and the wheat in verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 13. And as I read these, I must keep reminding my listeners that according to Christ's answer to the disciples, these parables or these stories are used so that they will reveal the truth or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to Christ's disciples, but multitudes of other people can hear them and will not understand. So don't you be too concerned if you cannot pass on to some other people that which you learn here about the parables. If they cannot see it, if they cannot understand it, it is because God has left their eyes blinded. Verse 31 and 32 of Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, I won't spend too much time on this, because I'm going to spend one or two broadcasts on the leaven, but this very briefly is a statement again that the kingdom of heaven is on the earth. You must understand that first. Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, and mustard seed is a very tiny seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, we have already seen that the man in these parables is identified in verse 37 as the Son of Man, or God Almighty, Christ Himself. And in verse 38, the field is the world. So here again, in order for all of these parables to teach the same thing, to not deviate from the truth, the same symbolism must be used. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed sowed in the earth. He says it's very small in verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, I'm just going to tell you some of these things. I do hope and pray that many of my listeners will search the Scriptures themselves and not just depend upon Pastor Emery. But anyway, the children of Israel in the book of Exodus are told that they were the least among the people. God did not choose them because they were the greatest, but the least. So the children of Israel would be the children of the kingdom. This is verified by the prophet. Isaiah in chapter 60 is one place where he speaks to the children of Israel and tells them about the place that eventually would be called, in verse 14, the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And in verse 21 and 22, God prophesies through Isaiah, Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever. This is an earthly prophecy. The branch of my planting. In other words, whatever this is in Isaiah 60 is something God planted. Well, the parable of the kingdom of heaven in the grain of mustard seed is a seed planted by God. Verse 21 of Isaiah 60, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. Now, that chapter in Isaiah 60 is a prophecy of the Zion of Bible prophecy. It contains a land. In verse 21, he says, They shall inherit the land forever. You can see how the false teachings of the churches today hide the truths revealed in the parables. So many of the preachers tell us that all of these prophecies are going to be fulfilled in us in heaven, or if they talk about the earth, then they talk about the Jewish people. No, this planting is of the children of Israel, and it is in Christ. The one who sowed the seed in the earth is Jesus Christ, so this would have to be fulfilled in Christ's people, not a people of Antichrist, as is taught today. Now, as far as this grain of mustard seed growing into a tree, in the Scripture, the Israel people are identified as a cedar tree and also as an olive tree. Throughout the Bible, God uses, especially in the prophet Ezekiel, referring to the Garden of Eden and other people, He uses cedars and pine trees and olive trees, symbolic of races of people. So this would grow into a great people, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Birds of the air, or fowls of the air, are used several times in Scripture to signify evil, wicked forces. This again fits the parable of the tares and the wheat, in that evil, wicked people would be in the kingdom with this planting of the Lord. We saw that in the parable of the tares and the wheat. All right, that's all the time we're going to spend on that, because it's going to take me a few days to get through the parable of the leaven, because that is going to have to be explained along with the parable of the sower. Verse 33 is a very short parable. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. We better find out first what the leaven is. Is it good or bad, or what in the world is it that it would leaven the whole of 3 measures of meal, and what in the world does that have to do with the kingdom of heaven? First of all, you know that the Passover was to be celebrated and kept with unleavened bread. There was to be no leaven in the bread of the Passover. And we know that Christ is our Passover, so it must have something to do with bread. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5, and we'll see in what manner Paul used this in his writings to other Christian people. Now, in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is rebuking the people at Corinth for some very evil and wicked things. In verse 1, he indicates that someone among the Corinthians is having his own father's wife. And then he says in verse 6 to verse 8, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Paul is making the point here that to follow true Christian preaching and to follow Christ, you must not have leaven. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So it is leaven that spoils Christian doctrine, that deceives Christian people. Leaven must be wickedness of some sort. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, and he is telling these people in verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He again is warning the Galatians here not to err in the true doctrines of Christ. Then in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul uses this same phraseology in warning them that they have some error in their church, some error in their teaching or their belief, and he calls that error leaven. And he warns that a little error in there would leaven or make error out of the whole lump. All right, now let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. For here is recorded a teaching of Jesus Christ which apparently is so important that it is repeated three times in the Gospels. It's in Mark 8 and also in Luke 12. We'll have to read quite a few of these verses. I won't have time to go into all of this today. Matthew 16, starting in verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? In other words, Christ is saying, No, it doesn't have anything to do with the physical bread you should have brought. Christ goes on, Do ye not yet understand, neither remember, the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? And these are questions. Verse 11, How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Now you may not understand that yet, but in verse 12 it says, Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, here is the identity of the leaven referred to by this parable in Matthew 13. It is the leaven, or the erroneous teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We'll continue that study on the leaven next week, Lord willing. I should have mentioned, when I was talking about the parable of the mustard seed, and reading Isaiah 60, verse 21, referring to God's people as the branch of my planting, that sermon, preached 200 years ago, refers to the people in America as the branch of God's planting. Yes, Israel was planted as a grain of mustard seed on this North American continent to become the Zion of Bible prophecy. Preachers of 200 years ago knew we were the Israel people. That was before Christianity in America was leavened with the leaven of the Pharisees. Until next week, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you and Christian Israel in America.